Feeling lost and alone? Looking for validation from your partner, only to find the feeling of rejection and continued frustration? You're together yet so far apart. Now your frustration has turned into disdain and resentment. Your insecurities have begun to affect every aspect of your life. Ironically, you have now become the cold and detached one, shielding yourself from the uncertainties of your relationships. Dr. April Brown has created Bringing Intimacy Back, a series of discussions that are designed to help you reclaim what you have lost along the way. Dr. April will help you rediscover and reconnect to the intimate relationship your heart so desires. Go to www.bringingintimacyback.com today and let the healing begin.
Well, welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back show, where intimacy is real. On this show, we aim to help you increase the intimate connections with your significant other, children, family, friends, networks, higher power. We give you the secret power to intimacy to create a life you love. I love the life you create. Well, I know now we are in difficult times, and many of you are struggling with anxiety and not knowing what to do and how to do it. And this is difficult times. And one reason why I'm doing this show is about intimate connections. And I know that we're all making sure that we are 6 feet away and practicing social distance. But one thing about this whole experience that even for myself I found out is that being at home now, working from home, and you actually get a chance to spend more time with your loved ones, which is really important. And also for many of us, if you're stuck and you're like not knowing what to do, making those connections with lost friends through phone, through social media, through what we're doing here, through Zoom, it's really important. Because in life, it is about connections. And one of the things that we connect with and what we are talking about today is through our souls, we connect. And today, I'm honored to have a very special guest with us. Her name is Dr. Rita Lewis. Hi, Dr. Rita. Good, good. For some reason, your microphone.
I'm muted. Yeah. Too many years of radio.
That's okay. So Dr. Rita's on here today, and she's going to talk about the soul healer for relationships, and which is critical and important even in this time and day right now, because relationships is what matters. That's what where we feel connected. That's how we're motivated. That's how we are doing a lot of things. It's not so much about what you have, what you don't have. And so let me give you a little bit about Dr. Rita. She is a survivor of childhood abuse herself. She has emerged as a gifted empath and a talented clairvoyant, medical intuitive. She's a natural physician and the founder of the Institute of Applied Energetics that trains students in the arts of medical intuition, intuitive counseling, and energy medicine. She has authored 6 books, produced several featured short films, and several featured length and short films. Dr. Lewis has appeared on radio, television, and in movies, and has lectured on health and healing, ghosts, intuition, ancient mysteries, the paranormal, and her books and articles have a worldwide circulation. Thank you so much, Dr. Rita.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm honored back at you. So, and I'm looking forward to this. So,
yes, definitely. And this is, I think, a good topic for what's going on in the world today, dealing with the COVID-19 and how can we put, we're connecting with different people and stuff, and how to, in the sense of relationships, heal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, you know, and yeah, it's a very interesting time. You know, I'm very sensitive to what goes on around me. And so there has just been a lot of discordant energy that people are dealing with right now. And I think a lot of people don't understand, you know, they're just feeling uptight and tense. Like their world, you know, they got a place to live, they got food in the refrigerator, they're still working. you know, there's getting sick, but then there's just this unexplainable tension that's going on that's affecting our ability to be intimate with ourselves, as well as our ability to navigate our relationships. You know, and I think, you know, I just wanted to mention that to people, that if you're just feeling out of sorts or having this like weird anxiety that you don't understand, it's just part of being part of this global community, because we all pick up on each other's energy, each other's mojo.
Right. And definitely if you're feeling anxious right now, that's normal, because we're dealing with things that we've never dealt with before.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, all these different changes.
Exactly. And a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear.
Right, definitely. Yes. So you are a naturopathic physician?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. What is that?
So a naturopath is someone that works with someone using non-evasive methodologies. So herbs and supplements, diet and weight loss, energy medicine falls under that category. Homeopathy, working with essential oils. I mean, I don't do all of those things. Like, I'm not a homeopathist, which is a science unto itself, but that can fall underneath the naturopathic category, because you're not doing surgery and you're not giving them medications. It's more about cleansing your body and living a whole and healthy lifestyle versus chop it out or give you a pill to cover up symptoms.
Oh, wonderful. So how did you even started in this journey? How did you even get in the field?
So my background was working as a psychic person and as an energy healer. And I joke around, I just wanted to be Rita the psychic chick. You know, I talk about people's relationships, and I was good with that. But what I found, you know, everyone that works on intuitive levels has different channels. And so some people are mediums. Like, I'm not a medium. I don't talk to dead people, which is what a medium is. Some people are better able to tune into this kind of an energy or that. And for some reason, really unbeknownst to me, I was very open to receiving people's health issues. And so then, you know, you go, oh, well, you know, I'm noticing like, there's this issue going on with your kidney, but I wasn't even really sure whether their kidney was there. It was just this spot in their back. And then the first question they would ask was, well, what can I do about it? And I had nothing. I had nothing. But once I signed up for, you know, went back to school, within the first semester, I knew that's where I was supposed to be. You know, because it just came very naturally to me, and I feel blessed at having to, you know, having listened to my intuition and that little push that spirit was giving, saying, go back to school. It's like, okay. So.
Okay. All right. So you can pick up on people's energy, and now you have the education plus the resources on how to help them with that.
Correct. So using that kidney example, I mean, I remember, and this was years and years and years ago, I had a woman and I was doing some energy work on her, and that's where it shows up more. And I saw this, you know, very technical, this black glob on one side of her back, but it was internal. So I knew it wasn't a back issue. And I was like, well, I think you have some kind of a issue with your kidney. Now, emotional things can show up as stuff in organs, you know, as issues. And to find out that she was like 10 years old and had kidney stones and had been hospitalized, and it was this really big deal. But one, I wasn't quite sure if it was her kidney. And now I work with people where they're having some kind of back pain or some issue going on, and I, you know, have anatomy and physiology, and I can look to see if they have kidney stones or if they have inflammation or if there's an infection in the kidney, and I can get much more diagnostic with what I'm saying to people versus there's this glop of energy sitting in your back. So, yeah, it's been a wonderful experience for me.
Yeah, so With everything that's going on in the world today with COVID-19, how has that impacted your business?
I went from being really busy to, if anybody wants an appointment, I got openings. You know, when you work in alternative areas, you know, like massages or, you know, things that aren't basic necessity things, you know, you go to the doctor because you need to go to the doctor. You know, so the work that I do is, and it's not that I'm not working at all, but it has, you know, it kind of falls into that kind of massage-y category where, you know, if I really need it, I'm going to get on the phone. But if I don't really need it, then I'm not, I'm just going to hold off.
Right, of course, yeah. I mean, people with their limited funds and stuff. But it's really a good discussion to have because energy is everything. It's what feeds all of us.
Exactly.
Yes.
You know, and there are so many, again, people being affected by what's going on that, you know, they don't even know what's happening, you know, to them.
And so with this energy, and like I said, it feeds all of us. It definitely feeds what we're going into next is the soul.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, this to me, the soul is the part, like the uncorrupted part of ourselves. You know, it's the part of ourselves that, in my opinion, connects to source, connects to God, and kind of keeps us on track of what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah,
and
what
so,
do you mean uncorrupt?
Say that again.
Oh, what do you mean that it's uncorrupt, the soul?
Our soul, we can cover over our soul with bad thoughts and bad emotions, but that it's that nugget within ourselves that is pure and clean and connected to God. Now, we don't have to listen.
Right, exactly.
But it's that place that we can go inside and rediscover ourselves because it is the core of our being.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so as a soul healer, what does that mean?
I mean, to me, you know, it's interesting. You know, it was like in the early 90s where I was looking to get an internet domain. And you know, these very technical things. And I really liked that concept, but I didn't feel like a soul healer.
Okay.
And it's taken me a long time to expand myself, expand my practice so that I can feel like I own that place now.
Right.
I mean, because to me, it is about working with all of our aspects, you know, working with us physically, working with us emotionally, working with us spiritually, so that we can come back to being one with ourselves, become one with our soul, so that we can move forward from a place of authenticity and integrity.
Right, definitely. And like you're saying, especially this is a good time because we're isolated now for many of us. Mm-hmm. So it's a good time for us to go back and, go inside and connect with that soul.
Exactly.
And see what's going on and get back to our true self.
Exactly. You know, and I'll be the first to admit it. You know, this is like advanced science because when there's so much discord. So if I like use words like chakras, are your listeners familiar with that concept?
Probably not, no. So we can
Well, then I'll just explain it in a different way. How's that? You know, when there's a lot of stuff going on, especially fear is a biggie. It makes it so that we end up holding on to everything and it just swirls around inside of us and it makes it so that it interferes with our ability to like really think. It interferes with our ability to ground and release. And so now's a great time to like go out in your yard and hug a tree or work in the garden because it's going to allow you to reconnect. Because if you're in a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress and there's this underlying fear, a lot of times we really get in our head and we just are thinking, and then we're like watching Fox News all day or CNN or, you know, got the radio on. It's like, oh no, what's going on next? And disconnecting, you know, I think right now really disconnecting from the TV or the radio are going to be ways to help you get to that place where you feel more yourself, more in contact with who you are, really.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. And as you were thinking, or as you were talking, I was thinking there's a lot of us, like you said, get stuck in our head. We watch a lot of news, and it's good to be informed, but you can have an overload.
Exactly.
And now, I mean, back in the day, news used to be, back in the day, you used to get news once a day, you know, back in the 60s or whatever. But now we have news constantly. Mm-hmm. And so that just makes us, and especially with what's going on, makes us so, so anxious, and that just over explode our thoughts. And so can you explain to us, how does the thoughts, the energy, the soul, how is all this connected into what you do and what you provide?
Okay, that's a pretty big question. And so my goal is to help people feel good, you know, whether it's mentally or physically or emotionally. And so many times people will approach me because they have a health concern going on, because, you know, that's kind of what I put out. But one of the things that I have found in my work is that 85 to 90% of the issues that people present with, there's always something else going on. You know, it's not just a physical thing. You know, so, you know, if you break your arm, you break your arm. You know, if you have a surgery done, you had a surgery done, and if there are consequences to the surgery, you have, you know, tight tendons or whatever, it's a very functional thing. But for the most part, when you're talking about cancer or kidney disease or diabetes or anything, there's always an emotional piece or a thought piece going on. And so I really work to help liberate people from what's going on inside of them so that they can experience radiant health, because we all want to feel good. And there's physically feeling good, but then there's just being happy and being whole with who we are. Okay. And you know, because when we'll get, I'm going to get, bring in a little intimacy thing, because when we're happy with who we are, we can be intimate with anybody. Exactly. Or make choices that I don't want to be intimate with you, and kind of take your next step.
Exactly. Yes, definitely. So we're going to take a short break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about, like how you were saying, in the sense of being healthy.
Okay.
And how that relates to being healthy in relationships and making healthy decisions in relationship in an intimate type of way. Here in the state of Florida, I am certified telemental health. So if you're having anxiety and you're really thinking about, oh my gosh, I need someone to talk to, please look me up, contact me, Dr. April at info@drapilbrown.com. Okay, so now back. So as we were just talking about, and you mentioned the word intimacy, which is what this show is about. I first also like to know, what is your definition of intimacy?
That's kind of evolving for me, you know, and I'll just be upfront, you know, as you read in my bio, you know, I am a survivor of childhood abuse. Right. And one of the places where I am at personally is learning what healthy in relationships is all about, because it's not something that people teach you. It's not something that you learn if you come from a place that's not healthy.
Right.
You know, it's not on the menu. And so I don't know that I have a very good definition of intimacy.
Okay.
How's that?
Yes. So as we were talking about in the last little part about being healthy ourselves, mm-hmm. it's very important because that helps us make healthy choices in relationships.
Exactly.
Yes.
And there's being physically healthy, but then there's also being emotionally healthy.
Okay.
And so I feel like, and I mentioned this earlier, this whole concept about being congruent with ourselves, with what's going on the inside is what we communicate to the world around us. So can I give a quick example?
Yes.
So I'm sure everyone listening has a friend who you get them on the phone or whatever, and they're like, blah, 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 blah. And 20 minutes later, they're still like, blah, blah, blah. And they don't stop talking. And so you're listening to this, and on the inside, so if you're congruent with yourself, then you would say to the person, I have to go. You cut the conversation short. You exert some kind of a boundary. But if you're not healthy on the inside, or you'll sit there and you'll listen to this person, and on the inside you're going, God, I wish they would shut up. I got things to do, and you have this little internal dialogue going on, and it's not congruent, So there's this stuff going on inside that you might be worrying about or ruminating about, but you're not communicating that to the outside world, and you're not communicating it to that person, whether they are romantic interest or a friend or whatever. And so when we're healthy, we communicate what's going on inside of us to that other person, and have boundaries around what's acceptable behavior and what's not acceptable behavior from people that we're hanging out with.
Yeah, exactly. Why did you decide to get into this whole relationship aspect?
Well, Dr. April, I really wasn't planning on it.
Okay.
So I... my books, I have two books about psychic phenomena and energy medicine. I have a book about ghosts and attached entities. I have two books about ancient mysteries and looking at kind of like ancient alien type books. And actually had just released a book at this point in time, it would be 2 years ago in October. But I was in a relationship with a very... dysfunctional man. I'll just say he had issues. Okay. I'll just say that he had some definite issues, and I didn't know if he had psychological issues or if he was just a drunk, and I really couldn't separate the two out. And so I got rid of him, but in trying to understand him and come and address him from a place of compassion, because if he had a mental health issue, then, there was possibility that he could get on some kind of medication or go to counseling, something, but as part of my education process, I came upon the whole concept of narcissists and was coming to find that he was pretty darn narcissistic. Mm-hmm. Fast forward, I get rid of him. I'm in the process of moving his stuff out of my house, and I get a text from my ex-husband's current wife, who I met once. Well, now his ex-wife, but at that time, current. And she wants to talk to me because he's acting strange, and we get on the phone a little bit later, and the first thing she said was, he's a narcissist. And my ex-boyfriend and that husband were kind of a lot alike. And it was like this light bulb went off in my head, and I started looking at all of my relationships and all of these dynamics of people that I've allowed into my life, and realized that I have surrounded myself with a lot of very unhealthy people, a lot of very unhealthy marriages. I've been married a lot. and needed to find my way out because I didn't want to do it anymore. Period.
Yes. Yeah.
No, I was done.
Yes, you mentioned the word narcissism. And so many of our listeners, they may think, well, what is that? Am I with someone who's narcissistic? And a basic definition of a person who's narcissistic is someone who really cannot show empathy. They cannot really step in someone else's shoes. They cannot really feel what you're feeling. And there's really no type of medication to that you can take and have empathy. So many times those people struggle because they are only see life themselves. And many times they can be very abusive and very, put people down and that kind of stuff. And so as you were saying earlier, sometimes people kind of stay in that unhealthy relationship pattern. And you fall more into that if, as you were stating earlier, if you're not healthy yourself.
Exactly. Yes. You know, and I feel like, I mean, to be honest, the whole thing was actually pretty shocking to me because I've spent years working on myself and, you know, I think I'm a kind of cool person and I'm pretty upfront about most things.
Right.
But I didn't see that. I mean, it was just really shocking.
Yes. I think what sometimes people make the mistake, and I see it a lot in therapy, where sometimes someone's trying to save another person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you stay in a relationship because you want to help that person become better. You want to help them become a better woman or a better man and this and that. And I'm a strong believer you cannot be someone's social worker and lover at the same time.
You know, in my case, I didn't know what healthy looked like.
Oh, you
know, and I think people that come from dysfunctional families don't necessarily know what healthy looks like.
Right.
You know, so you can't say, oh, well, if you're treating me this way, that's not right. You know, because society says to us, well, you know, when you get married or you're in a committed relationship, you know, you're supposed to work on it. Relationships are hard, you know, but they don't tell you, but if they're a jerk, that you should be like, adios amigo, you know?
Right. And there has to be boundaries in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And many times, if you have a background of abuse, you struggle with boundaries.
Boundaries? What are those? It's like, really? I don't really have an issue sharing. It was shocking to me. I mean, there was, you know, like my pattern, but then it was shocking to me to realize that I could have a choice and say, you know what? I don't want to do that. This isn't good for me. And so I don't want to do this anymore. And I have to, okay, wait for it. I have to love myself enough to say no.
Oh, awesome. Yes. Do you know how many people struggle with just saying the word no? Yes.
Yes. A lot. You know, so to answer your question, that was why, you know, I decided to delve into it because, you know, my book, The Dysfunctional Dance of the Empath and Narcissist, it's not a memoir. But it was kind of my journey to understand what was going on. You know, what was going on inside of me? What was going on in my relationships? Why was I choosing this? Because if I was understanding why I was choosing it, then it gave me the opportunity to not do it anymore and make a different choice. Because I think a lot of people don't realize they have a choice.
Exactly. Yeah, you have a choice every day on how you treat yourself, and you have a choice in how you treat others. And sometimes you think you're not making a choice, you are making a choice. Yes. Yeah.
But if you don't realize that, then you don't.
Exactly. Yeah. So thank you for writing that book because I think it's definitely going to help others. And we're going to take a short break. But when we come back, we're going to hear more from Dr. Rita on how to, let's say we're in these unhealthy relationships, how to heal from that, how to take our souls and connected and start to love ourselves again. Okay, we're going to take a short break.
During this difficult time that we are all facing, Many people are in need of someone to talk to. One option is speaking to a therapist to express your anxieties if you are feeling isolated or just need someone that will listen and help you with coping skills to get through. Dr. April Brown is now accepting new clients and is working with her existing clients through distance video counseling. The services are through a secure online HIPAA web-based practice management platform called Simple Practice. This technology can provide a secure two-way interactive video counseling session over the internet. For more information about video counseling, please email Dr. April Brown at info@draprilbrown.com or you may call 239-565-6921. Thank you. And remember, we are all in this together.
Hey, welcome back to the Bringing Intimacy Back show, where intimacy is real. We've been talking here and having a great conversation with Dr. Rita. And Dr. Rita, as we've been talking about unhealthy relationships, and that's, you know, many times, sometimes it starts with people, of course, not loving themselves, something that they may have not learned how to do in childhood. And it, you know, it goes all the way from there. So if one is finding oneself in a predicament where they're unhappy in their relationships, what are some things that they can work on?
You know, so one of the things that they can do is to, you know, just take a step back. You know, if there's a situation going on, just take a step back and go, well, what's true for me? You know, what's going on in this dynamic? What, you know, is it that they are doing something that is wrong or bad? Are they doing something that's just triggering something in me from my childhood? You know, because if I'm getting upset because, you know, 40 years ago, my mother said something to me and, you know, and just start to evaluate, because sometimes we self-sabotage and we might be with a great person, but we allow our own junk to get in the middle of everything. And so I think that's kind of the first place is to identify, is this really a bad situation or is it me and I need to address me?
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned that. I think that's so important. And that's for all of us, that sometimes when something happens, a disagreement, argument, whatever the case may be, for us to take time and to look at ourselves. One great way of doing that sometimes is to journal, to write it out.
I love journaling. you know, because I don't, There are a lot of people that want to fix the other person, change the other person, think that issues in a relationship are all their fault. But I don't think that people take the time to look at what they're bringing into it, you know, and what their part in it, because it always takes two to tango, you know, and if you're in a dysfunctional relationship, you know, I've gotten some hate mail on this commentary. It's like, you've chosen to be there, you know? And so you have to take your part in the whole thing.
Yes.
People don't like hearing that.
But no, they do.
It really is the truth.
It is the truth that you did choose it, yes.
You know?
Yeah, and but you can't get stuck in that shame of, oh my gosh, this is what I chose. And going to be in this relationship forever. There's no way out. There's nobody else that's going to love me. You cannot be stuck at that point.
Exactly.
But then it's, what's the next step?
Well, and I think there's a certain amount of self-forgiveness that is tied to that whole thing where it's kind of like, you know, I mean, having this whole realization, you know, I've been married four times. Okay, my last husband died, so I don't really count that as a bad relationship because he was a really great guy. But he also came from a very dysfunctional family, and so that was something that bound us together. was because we would never do that to another person. And so he was always the one that, and he, it was a guy, and he was always not treated very well by his wives.
Okay.
You know, and so, and I'm just making that comment because a lot of people are of the assumption that when you are in a dysfunctional relationship, it's always the guy that's the abuser. And it's not, you know, it's a pretty equal opportunity situation.
Right. Okay. Okay. So you definitely believe in marriage. Yes.
Yeah, I do.
That's good.
I think I do better in a relationship than I do by myself.
Okay. Yes. So once we, like you said, do the self-reflect, then we realize, hey, this is my part of it. Mm-hmm. And this is this person's part.
You know, but once you have some clarity about what's going on, then you can make different choices. You can choose to stay. You can choose to communicate with the person. You can choose to go to counseling. Or you can choose to cut your losses and go. You know, I think as kind of a general rule, if you spend every day not happy or the vast majority of your days not happy or fighting or in some kind of conflict with your partner, then you have to really take, you know, think about it as to whether you want to stay or not.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you've mentioned a few times this word happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. And as we're thinking about relationships and whether we're happy or not, and we're talking about our soul.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things that we're not taught is that it's our job to make ourselves happy. And a lot of times people look for someone else to make them happy, but it's not their job. You know, so it's kind of like loving yourself. You know, if you're loving yourself, then you're going to be happier in general.
Yes.
If you're more authentic with yourself, you're going to be happier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but looking for it from the outside isn't going, you're just going to end up disappointed in everything that happens.
Mm-hmm. And happiness of liking yourself is the full package.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by the full package of kind of what we talked about earlier, it's also those thoughts. If you yourself put yourself down and have these negative thoughts of I can't do this, I'm not good enough, and this and that, you know,
exactly.
That makes you disconnected with yourself, which
exactly.
Will impact the relationship.
Well, and I think, you know, really paying attention to what those thoughts are, you know, so if something happens or it doesn't even have to happen, you know, something doesn't have to happen. You know, but if you're constantly in that negative mental thought process, you know, I suck, I can't do anything, blah, 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 blah. You know, I think that that can be a huge indicator of what's going on, you know. And so in the bigger picture, and I'm not an expert on this, you know, but that concept is called mindfulness. Just paying attention to what's going on in your brain. And using that, you know, there's something in our brain that are called neural pathways. And so if you are used to having kind of a crappy life, you developed a lot of neural pathways that are become like the knee-jerk reaction. You know, so the phone rings. I'm trying to think of a cute example, but they're not coming up. But it's what happens. And so if somebody looks at you the wrong way, even though you know, don't have any idea what's going on with them, it's like the initial, the knee-jerk response is to like, oh my God, they hate me, blah, 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 blah. You know, but that might not be true. That might not be the reality of what's going on. They might have a sore foot and they took a step the wrong way and their foot hurt. And they looked at you because it was in that moment that their foot hurt. And so, but we can learn a lot by paying attention to where our brain goes and going, wait a minute, I can choose to not go down that route. I don't need to go all the way over there. I can stop it right, to those, take practice and bring in new thoughts, you know, bring in new beliefs. You know, one of the things that I suggest to my clients that tend to trigger real easy is that if they, you know, find themselves over in that negative place over there, to use some kind of a mantra, you know, or something that they repeat. Because the reality is that we have one slot in our brain. You know, we can only have one thought at a time. Now, we can have 20 thoughts all competing for that same slot, but we can only have one thought at a time. And you can choose what that thought is. And so I can choose to repeat a mantra. I can choose to focus really hard while I'm washing the dishes or raking the yard or whatever, going and exercising. And so you can overrule the negative, you know, with the hope, I'll say hope, that it just kind of fades away into the background and just goes away by itself. You know, and so that concept is really the basis of any kind of meditative practice, journaling, you know, and journaling is another great tool to just really focus on that one slot. And then all of this has the opportunity to fade into the background. But it's usually the negative stuff that fades into the background. It's not the good stuff. It's like you get done. It's like, ooh, I'm happy now.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So, Dr. Vita, we're going to go for a short commercial. And in this commercial, I would like you to tell us about your books and about the services you provide. Okay.
Okay.
Go for it. So Dr. Vita, you can go ahead
and tell us. I thought you were going to do a break first. I'm like, la, la, la. And so the book that I just released, which talks about this relationship stuff, is called The Dysfunctional Dance of the Empath and Narcissist, which really looks at how our early childhood influences created this negative place within us. And by going in and addressing what's going on inside of us, we can change us so that we can re-engage into relationships from a much more healthy place. So there is a lot of information that illuminates, you know, our internal world and gives you brain food, because a lot of people, you know, they just go day to day and don't really know what's going on, you know? And so this gives a lot of brain food, and then also offers a lot of information and advice as to steps you can take to make changes within yourself. So, you know, it's a self-helpy kind of book, obviously. Earlier I was talking about my other books. Dark Angels is a book about ghosts, spirits, and attached entities. I have a book called The Power Within, which is about developing your psychic abilities using energy medicine as a modality. I have a book called Avoiding the Cosmic 2x4, which talks about subtle energy movement through the orange chakras and why we develop physical disease, with the goal of not getting sick, thus avoiding the cosmic 2x4. And then my other two ancient alien books are E.T. Chronicles, What Myths and Legends Have to Say About Human Origins, and Stepping Out of Eden. My webpage is soulhealer.com, soulhealer.com.
Oh, welcome. Thank you so much for letting us know how we can find you and to get information about all the different books that you do and provide and stuff. And so how do you tie all this together? Like, is there, because I know that you do a lot of natural medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you tie that in with the with helping people with unhealthy thoughts?
Very much so. I mean, I have a lot of clients. I do a lot of energy work, which helps to clear the subtle energy body. I do a lot of, and I'm going to say, spiritual counseling with my clients and helping them to understand what those core beliefs are and what those limiting beliefs are that are keeping them caught from moving forward, you know, whether it's in their relationships or their jobs or with their family or you know, even on, again, physical levels, because there's always some core belief that's sitting inside as a nugget. You know, and I think people don't understand. It's like, if you're being affected by core beliefs, then down the road, if you get sick, that core belief is going to show up somewhere in your body. Mm-hmm. You know, and so addressing it while it's still a thought or an emotion is much better, because then you are not going to let it get to the point where it actually manifests in the physical body.
Right.
So early is good. Preventative is good.
Yes. And as she's talking, to break it down to the listeners out there, we all have these core beliefs. And many times it's the core belief in how we perceive the world and how we perceive ourselves. And that many times impacts our thoughts, which then sometimes impacts our emotions and our feelings, which then can sometimes cause us to feel good, feel bad, and even can sometimes, as we're talking, well, not sometimes, always impact our energy level, which can also impact our health.
Exactly. We're on the same page that way.
That's how that's all kind of connected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm glad that you do start back on the sense of the core beliefs.
You know, in addition to doing the health stuff, that information comes to me, okay, a little blunt. you know, and I can't help it, because people's bodies hold statements. I mean, it's just very interesting.
Your body,
you know?
Sure, your body remembers everything.
But it's interesting because it comes to me as a statement. Mm-hmm. I'm invisible.
Mm.
I hate myself. I mean, it's just very basic statements. And so then I say them to people because that's what their body is holding on to. And then they cry. And I don't mean to make them cry, but I know I'm doing my job when I do.
Yeah, crying is healthy. That's a release.
Yeah.
Fine. Right. But yeah, but that's a healthy way. Yes.
Yes. You know, and sometimes, well, actually not some, a lot of times, people think that they have dealt with stuff. And sometimes they have. But many times it's they've thrown it over their shoulder, they've stuffed it over here, they've stuffed it over there, and their bodies will hold it. You know, and it seems very evident to me, you know, of what they're hanging on to. It's just interesting. Doing this work is just very interesting, because it's like, okay. Because people can have, you know, different organs carry different kinds of beliefs. And so you might have like a liver issue going on, but as you're starting to work, it's like, well, you know, but your lungs has this belief and this organ has this belief, but then you take them all together and they're always kind of ancillary and they tell this whole story. Mm-hmm. And what I find interesting is sometimes they might have, you know, a gallbladder issue happening, but the real issue isn't that it's their gallbladder. That just happens to be the weak link. You know, it might be that they have a lot of sorrow, or they have a lot of shame, or they, you know what I mean? That's sitting in their lungs, you know? Right. And so, interesting stuff. Never know where you're going to go.
Right. And just as people are now dealing with other, that's COVID-19 and are, you know, in their homes a little bit isolated, or they're out of their usual patterns, and maybe some of the stuff is triggering all the stuff that's starting, you know, these thoughts, these beliefs, these pains. What would you advise should be some of the steps they should take toward healing?
Because I think, you know, at this point in time, you know, the most important thing, like in this moment, is loving yourself and maybe giving yourself a little bit of slack. Mm. You know, is you really didn't bring this upon yourself. You didn't decide to have the world blow up around you. And yes, it's stressful, but it's not your fault.
Right.
You know? And so I think that that's like the first step is just, you know, having it be okay, you know, and then doing things to, if you're in that negative pattern, you know, that we were talking about, and you're just in that worry place and you don't know what you're going to do. It's like, spend some time journaling, spend some time with the TV off, just in a relaxing place, you know, go for a walk. All right. Some cities are shut down. We're not shut down. Thank God. We have social distancing, but we're not shut down. You know, but if you can go for a walk or, you know, anything to help let go so that you can find yourself again. Sometimes, especially with what's going on, is take a personal inventory. Do I have food to eat? Do I have money in the bank? You know, okay, if I hit no on any of these items, what do I need to do to remedy that? What can I do? What are my options? And then follow through on them. Because if you're just floundering around and going, oh my God, the sky is falling, you're not taking effective steps. You're just kind of whirling around in your own fear and insecurity and not doing anything productive or proactive to get out of it.
Exactly. And you mentioned earlier, you know, if you're starting to worry and go, like you said, go crazy, you need to ground yourself and do what you said earlier, which is mindfulness. Say, hey, sometimes it's minute by minute. I'm safe now. Touch five things. See four things around you. Bring yourself to the present moment. I'm safe now. Now I'm safe. What can I do? What can I do to prepare? Yes, but not to, as you said, get so stressed out.
You know, and one of the tools that I work with my clients is that I have them put their hand on their heart or their chest and go, what do I need to do now? You know, because to me, this is where our soul lives. And so it's like, what do I need to do now? What is my next step? And it only needs to be one little step, which might be make a phone call, which might, you know, it could be anything. And whatever that insight you get, just do it. I've given up arguing with myself a long time ago. It's just like, just do it.
Just do it, yes. And have fun with yourself and laugh with yourself.
Exactly.
Be your best friend.
And I think now more than ever, being your best friend is the most important. Sorry.
That's okay. Yes, being your best friend is the one of the most important aspects, and it definitely can help heal your soul, as we've been talking about today. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Yes, if you're wanting to reach out to Dr. Rita, can you tell us again your social media?
Sure. So you can find me on Facebook as Dr. Rita Louise on Facebook. I am Psychic Doc on Twitter. Don't do Twitter that much, but every so often. Or you can reach me via my webpage, soulhealer.com. And I am doing session work all remotely. So if you are having some stuff go on, feel free to give me a call. If you call, all right, I'm going to make a little disclaimer. You know, if you call and go, do I got COVID-19? I probably can't tell you, because a cold and a flu manifests as a cold and a flu, and don't know. I can tell you whether you need to go to the doctor or not. How's that? You know, you're not dying, so.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much for being on the show. And listeners out there, I know all of us are in this time period where we are all scared. We don't know what's going to happen next. But one good thing about this whole thing is we're all in this together. You got to think about it. You're not alone. We're all in this together. And if you're starting to feel very anxious and stuff, I would strongly advise to limit your amount of news watching. It's important to be informed, but too much can make you stressed out, can make you anxious. Like she suggested, and I suggest also, get out and go take some walks. Also connect with people you haven't connected with before. This too, we will get through this together. If you need me, I'm always available. Like you can reach me, Dr. April Brown at info@drapilbrown.com. And Take care to the next time. All right, this has been the Bringing Intimacy Back Show.